See y'all in Tampa. Hashtag Chiefs Kingdom. The king of Chiefs Kingdom right there. Patrick Mahomes tweeting after the win. He's headed to Super Bowl 55 to try to steal the GOAT crown from Tom Brady, who will be playing in his home stadium the first time that has ever happened. Mm-hmm. Stephen, can Mahomes ever be the GOAT? If Brady wins.
No, I don't think so. Because think about what we said about Aaron Rodgers. We looked at him, and I've been on the record saying he's the greatest talent I've ever seen at the quarterback position. Now, Patrick Mahomes comes along. We might be able to say that.
Yeah.
But in the end, here's what it comes down to. If Tom Brady were to beat Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady would have 7 Super Bowl rings. I don't think any of us think that somebody else is coming along that's going to capture 7 Super Bowl championships. As great as Tyreek Hill is, I don't think that he'll be that great 6 years from now. As great as Travis Kelce is, I don't think he'll be that great 6 years from now. So when I look at it, I'm saying, excuse me, are you going to get 7 rings? Chances are no. But then it would be on your record that a 43-year-old quarterback is the one who beat you. All right? So I think the combination of those two things would prevent us from looking at Patrick Mahomes and saying he's the GOAT. We would ultimately say Brady is, because from a talent perspective, we don't look at Brady and think that he's more talented than Patrick Mahomes, he's more talented than Aaron Rodgers, but we do look at him and say he's the GOAT. Why? Because wherever he goes, he wins. He finds a way to win, galvanize the folks, and get it done in that fashion. I think that's the difference here. That's what I'm talking about here. If Tom Brady would have beat Patrick Mahomes, I don't think Patrick Mahomes will ever be called the GOAT.
The odds would be against it, but let me just say, it's not impossible. The odds are against it even if Mahomes wins, that he'll ever be the GOAT over Brady, only because getting to 10 Super Bowls, you are not promised tomorrow in this life, let alone in the NFL. You know, that's a full contact sport. Getting to playing 10 more years is hard to do, let alone getting to 10 Super Bowls and winning most of them. Because as you said, it'd be 7 if Brady wins. You have to win 6 more. And even if he did that, you start looking for tiebreakers. You go, when Brady was 43, Mahomes had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and Brady beat him head to head. It'd be a big mountain to climb. Could Mahomes climb it? Yes. The answer is yes, he could. Do you realize he started in this league for 3 years? He's now in his 3rd straight Super Bowl. Zubin had it in the morning. A stat, in the AFC Championship game, he has 0 interceptions thrown. Like Joe Montana, 13 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in the Super Bowl, 4-0. Patrick Mahomes, no interceptions in the AFC Championship game. And he's already got a Super Bowl ring. You know what his record is in his last 26 games, Stephen A? Patrick Mahomes is a starter.
25-1.
25-1 against the NFL? Like, if Mahomes loses to Brady, but then let's say in the next half a dozen years, he goes to 3 or 4 more Super Bowls and wins a couple, what we will say, most likely, is the quality of Mahomes' prime was better than the quality of Brady's, even if he never gets him in longevity. Now, I acknowledge the fact that Brady will have beaten him head-to-head. That'd be a lot to overcome. You know what the quickest way to overcome it is? In a rematch. You think the Bucs are going to be a lot worse next year? The Bucs are loaded, and Brady hasn't had the time to practice with them really in the preseason.
Are you sure that if Brady wins the Super Bowl at age 43, he won't look at Giselle and that beautiful family of his and say, I think I've proved my point. It's time for me to walk away. Are you sure that 2 weeks from yesterday might not be the last time we ever see Brady
if he wins it, storybook ending. I mean, talk about going out on top.
If he wins and walks away, Mahomes can't overcome that.
Well, I would say that, you know, I haven't been wrong about a Brady prediction yet.
By the way,
let me just say, I know you're
waiting. Quarterback he's lost in the playoffs to.
Right, right. And by the way, Mahomes should have beaten them a couple years ago.
But didn't.
And if not for a pre-snap penalty, Brady ends the game on an interception, and Mahomes never touched the ball again. The point is, because I know people are waiting because I've yet to be wrong on a Brady prediction, so let me tell you what I think is going to happen.
Go ahead.
I don't think Brady retires if he wins.
Neither do I, but it's possible.
I think Brady keeps playing, and if he keeps playing, they have a hell of a shot next year, assuming he doesn't fall off the cliff. And Mahomes has a hell of a shot every year. So what the question is, can he ever catch Brady as the GOAT? A lot of things would have to happen if he loses the Super Bowl to Tom Brady, but it's not impossible.
Molly, did you pick up on the fact that Max Kellerman held Aaron Rodgers and some of the things that transpired in the first half against him, but he conveniently ignores how Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City didn't show up in the first half against New England in that AFC Championship game when they basically went scoreless.
I'm so glad you brought that
up. Did you forget that?
I'm just saying.
All I heard was he remembered the clip.
It matters when Max wants it to matter, and he engages his amnesia when he wants to.
Check this out.
Selective memory?
Check this out. If you do when you miss Devonta Adams on three consecutive downs in the first half, which should have been a touchdown, and
Devonta scoreless in the first half.
Okay. Then what needs to happen in the second half? If you have daylight and you can run for a score or at least get stopped at the one, worst case scenario, you stopped at the
one. That's the first half.
And then I'll tell you something. LaFleur would have gone for it. I'm talking about the second half now, right?
Yes.
Then you're okay with me. Then I can't call it a choke no matter what the coach does, right? Well, what happened with Mahomes is any bad first half he has, he makes up for it in the second half. That's what I'm saying. I know it's unfair. People are like, it's all gonna boil down to one or two plays. That's ridiculous. That's the nature of tackle football. There aren't a million chances like in baseball or basketball. So everything that happens is magnified in importance when you talk about big, high leverage moments. Mm-hmm. Yes, those moments define people's legacies. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles. On some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. It was a stunner on Fight Island this weekend. I was shocked, guys. Dustin Poirier knocking out Conor McGregor in the second round of UFC 257. Poirier entered the fight as a plus 275 underdog. Stephen A., were you shocked by the TKO loss?
I was. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought that, you know, first of all, my mentality was that even though it was 6 years earlier, when you get knocked out in the first round by the same guy, that's a problem. And Poirier got knocked out by McGregor in 2014. And I just said, you know what? You got to remember that. You got to remember that power. But credit to Poirier. He fought a brilliant fight. First of all, he took him to the mat in the first round. Took him to the mat. You know, now Nurmagomedov would do that with considerably more ease. But that's what Poirier did. So clearly he had done his homework against Conor McGregor and saw that was a weakness. Secondly, because Conor McGregor likes to throw those straight lefts and just throw out the faint jab before doing so, he took his legs from under him. I didn't view Conor McGregor as just getting knocked out cold. I viewed him as your legs were shot because Poirier was killing you on your legs. You could barely stand up to begin with. So when you finally got caught, you was ready to fall because your legs were gone. In the end, what it says to me is this. Conor McGregor, Max, it's a devastating blow to the UFC. I don't care what anybody says. He's too popular. And to lose the way that he's been losing, no more title shots for the foreseeable future. You don't deserve it. You got to fight contenders, fine, but not title shots. You don't deserve that. And you certainly don't need to be talking about Nurmagomedov, whose tweet post-fight was actually on the money. Get rid of your trainer. You get rid of sparring partners. You sparring with kids. This is the result.
Marvelous Marvin Hagler, who was the great undisputed middleweight champion of the world in the 80s, the best pound-for-pound fighter.
Loved him.
Said, it's hard to get up at 5 in the morning and go running when you're sleeping in silk pajamas.
Yes.
And this dude made over $100 million against Mayweather. Mm-hmm. So has he lost the eye of the tiger, basically, right? Maybe. But what McGregor said after the fight may also be true. He's been inactive.
Yeah.
Inactivity,
I agree,
is a big deal when you're talking about split seconds, right? So I he needs to get more active. And Dana White was talking about maybe a rubber match with Nate Diaz, something like that. Yes. And that's probably not a bad idea. Mm. I'll say this. I was not surprised because McGregor had been off and because he may be at the stage of his career. There's a big difference between wanting to win and needing to win. McGregor is in that want-to-win stage. Mm-hmm. He's fighting dudes who still need to win. Mm-hmm. They're hungrier. And if McGregor can't get hungry like that, then he should hang it up.
I don't disagree with you, Max, and I'll defer to your expertise. What I would say in response to that is this. They're taking his legs out from under him. See, he's a striker. If you're fighting a striker, I'll put McGregor in against anybody. But when you want a piece of the Magomedov ain't going to sit up there and throw punches with you. He's going to take you right to the mat, and he's stronger, and he's more skilled as a grappler. And these guys now know that's how you can beat Conor McGregor.
John Jones,
the problem.
John Jones notwithstanding, to me, in MMA, the guy with the grappling background, if that's the basis of his skills, he has the advantage against the striker normally. And that's rock, paper, scissors. It's a matter of style.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And that's what Conor and everyone knows it. So they'll use him to hype the fight. But the second they step in the octagon, their number one focus is chop him down. Hit him low first. Get him in with that.
So who does Conor fight now?
Put him in with, I agree. Like, we're on the same page about this. Find a striker at a level where you believe Conor can win so he can get some confidence back, and then you take next steps. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, let's get into yesterday's games. The Packers were down 31-23 against the Bucks with 2:09 left, but opted to kick a field goal on fourth down instead of trying for a touchdown, allowing Brady to seal the deal with the Bucks' next first down. LaFleur and Rodgers spoke about the fourth down decision after the game.
We essentially had four timeouts with the two-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but, you know, we got called for the PI. And it didn't work out.
Well, I didn't have a decision on that one. That wasn't my decision. I thought we, you know, maybe we're going to have four chances to go.
Feel bad for Aaron today. Hey, Ryan Clark's here. RC, good to see you, as always.
Good to see you.
Stephen A., I'm going to start with you. Do you think that LaFleur cost them a potential trip to the Super Bowl?
I think the operative word is potential, and that's why I say yes. It's not definitive because Aaron Rodgers had numerous chances throughout the game. Mm-hmm. And obviously he came back from an 18-point deficit but still hadn't at least tied the score. So we can't definitively say yay or nay in that regard. But when you talk about the word potential, yes, I think LaFleur compromised that. I think there's no question about that. Now, to make sure that we're specific, we talked about them needing a first down, Tom Brady needing a first down and giving them the ball back with him needing a first down. Our researchers have illuminated for me that it's not just one first down because they did have three timeouts plus the two-minute warning. So in all likelihood is that he would have needed more than just one timeout. We get all of that. But my point is you didn't need a field goal. You didn't need a touchdown. You didn't need to score at all. You basically just needed to run out the last 2 minutes, and you allowed Tom Brady to get the ball back with the notion that you were going to be able to prevent him from holding the ball for the final 2 minutes of the game. Who the hell bets their money on that? I don't give a damn what analytic statistic you come up with. You don't make that decision, particularly when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. I think as a result, you know what? Basically, it proved Matt LaFleur coaching scared. I think it was a choke job on his part. I think as a result, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm just disgusted by the whole situation. I'm disgusted by Jordan Love being there. Not anything against Jordan Love, but you drafting my successor right in front of my face, you know, basically giving up on me at some point of saying that you see the handwriting on the wall. I don't think they've shown him the deference and respect he deserves. And if I'm Aaron Rodgers, this was the last straw to me. Remember, this ain't the first time I said Aaron Rodgers should win out, Max. Remember that. I've said it long before the NFC Championship game appearance. He shouldn't want to be there anymore. And yesterday just punctuated that point for me even more. To me, that's exactly how he should feel. I don't give a damn about LaFleur's 26-6 record in his two seasons as the Green Bay Packers coach. It would happen to be because he's got a quarterback that's thrown for over 8,300 yards, 74 touchdowns, and just 9 interceptions in that span. I'm done with LaFleur if I'm Matt, if I'm Aaron Rodgers.
LaFleur blundered, but he did not cost Rodgers a chance to win the game. Rodgers cost Rodgers a chance to win the game. You're the MVP. You're at home. You have what looks like a better team most of the year, and you lose to a 43-year-old because you can't get it done. That ain't on the coach. Sorry. And I've said for years, Rodgers is clearly better than Brady. I amend that. Brady is the GOAT, but he's also better. It turns out at the quarterback position, if you have the requisite arm strength, there's nothing over decision-making. And Brady owns that department even better than Aaron Rodgers, who's also a very good decision-maker, but not on Brady's level, period. We saw it yesterday. He had three shots at the end of the first half with Davante Adams. They couldn't link up in the red zone. They kicked the field goal. And that had a ripple effect. They had to go for the extra point. And that's another point now. It's a 4-point swing. It's a 5-point swing, which was the margin of the game. That's the margin they lost by, right? He couldn't link up with Davante Adams, and then Tom Brady came right down the field after that and threw a touchdown bomb. But forget about the first half for a second. Let's talk about LaFleur's blunder. It was a blunder for sure. Do you know why that was even an option, which it shouldn't have been? Because on the previous play, Rodgers had daylight and he didn't run. That's a touchdown. Or worst case scenario, he gets stopped at the one. Believe me, if he's stopped at the one, then they're going for it. He wasn't going for it from the eight. From the one, he's going for it. No, that Rodgers had chances in that game. He's one of my all-time favorites. He didn't get it done. That is not on LaFleur. They won 13 games again. This time they won 2 playoff games. This is not on coach.
Absolutely is on the coach. Oh, my goodness. For the last 5 years, I've been wrong about Tom Brady. I got to jump on one of the other greatest of all time just so I can have something negative to say today. Did you not watch the game? Like, you're talking about Tom Brady being a better decision maker. He threw 3 picks yesterday. Aaron Rodgers had 340-plus and 3 touchdowns. He had, in the second half, he had 340-plus and 3 touchdowns. Equanimeous St. Brown drops the 2-point conversion that has them in this situation. You're talking about the misses to Davante Adams. It was a perfect back shoulder throw that they execute all the time. And when Davante Adams has his head down on the ground and he's beating the ground, it's not because it's a bad throw. It's because Davante Adams 9 times out of 10 makes that catch. And that was the 10th time that he didn't. Matt LaFleur took the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands. Here is what happens if Aaron Rodgers gets an opportunity on 4th and 8 or on 4th and 9, wherever they were on the field, and they don't get it. Today, we walk in and talk about Aaron Rodgers' inability to convert at that opportunity or to make that play in that critical situational football moment. But Matt LaFleur didn't give him the chance. This is like having an opportunity to shoot the technical foul, and instead of putting Steph Curry out there, you put JaVale McGee. He made the wrong decision. He placed his defense back out there that had Kevin King playing for it. If I got a chance to make a play yesterday and one unit has Aaron Rodgers and the other unit has Kevin King, I'm picking the unit that got Aaron Rodgers. So that's on Matt LaFleur. The reason they're back in the game is because of Aaron Rodgers, because he did make plays, because he kept them going, because he kept them in the game. The reason they're in that spot is because of the pass to Valdez-Scantling. It's because of the plays he made to get him there. So give him that shot. And here's the last thing I got to say about Matt LaFleur. It's competition. Every time you do something, if you're competitive, it's competition. When I come on this show, it's a competition with y'all two. Period. No matter how many times we do it, much as I love y'all, that's what it's about. If I'm looking across the field and the dude across the field made a decision going into the halftime, that on 4th and 3, I'm going to throw the ball to playoff Lenny. And then with 6 seconds left, I'm not going to try to throw the ball out of bounds and get a field goal. I'm going to trust my first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, the greatest of all time, to throw the football to probably my 4th or 5th receiver, who is my speed guy, Scotty Miller, down the field, because he likes the matchup. Let Aaron Rodgers like the matchup. You stole that from him. That's on Matt LaFleur.
We're talking about hindsight.
You paid to have the foresight to win the game.
I'm not arguing that point. I said Matt LaFleur blundered. Here's the difference between Brady and Rodgers. You're right. Brady actually made more mistakes than Rodgers throughout the course of that game. But in the highest leverage moments, he didn't. And there's no way around this. After the series that I mentioned before the first half and then Brady threw the touchdown pass, that was the difference in the game, really. It's a 5-point swing when you add it all up. The decisions that people made subsequently. But consider the play right before. Why wasn't it 1st and goal or a touchdown? Because Rodgers didn't run when he had daylight. That is decision making.
So,
he blundered.
Max,
the coach blundered,
but here's the thing.
But Rodgers
Max,
did before.
Hold on, Ryan. From a generic perspective, you religiously sit out here and talk about how plays happen. But in the end, what does it come down to? In the end, what it came down to was a coach that coached scared. He leaned on numbers. And
yes.
I understand why you're averse to admitting that, because he leaned on numbers and analytics. And we all know nobody loved
it. No, it's a mistake.
More than you.
I'm not saying it was a mistake.
I'm just saying, in terms of your compassion for his mistake, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, he coached scared, and he took the ball out of the hands of a soon-to-be league MVP, who is widely recognized as one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen, who threw for 356 yards and 3 touchdowns yesterday. You got a 2-point conversion that hit St. Brown in the chest in his numbers. He dropped it somehow, some way. All right, Davante Adams couldn't keep his feet in bounds for another play. You got the guy on the backside. I think that was Adams, like you said. They do that play all the time, but he had his head down, missed the pass while he's banging himself on the turf. Aaron Rodgers was flat out balling. And you are Matt LaFleur. The only reason you're relevant, the only reason you're there, is because of that man. And you took the ball out of his hands. It's unconscionable what he did. Unconscionable.
You can't do that, man.
So why doesn't anyone address the play where Rodgers didn't run? It seemed like you were about to, Ryan.
Max.
Does anyone want to address that?
He should have ran.
Max, we can address that play. If he runs, we don't know what happens. We don't. Maybe he scores, maybe he gets closer, and then it's an easier decision for Matt LaFleur. I'm not saying that that play was correct, but isn't this what happens, though? Let's think about how we look at LeBron or how we look at Michael Jordan. And throughout these basketball games, you have all these plays that happen, but it comes down to the last shot. It comes down to that decision. If you got 40, whatever, you say, is it such and such fault because they didn't drain that shot? That's what legacies are built on. Matt LaFleur was in the moment. He had an opportunity to build a legacy. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't get to it, you know what we talk about today? The fact that Aaron Rodgers came up short.
That's right.
He never got the chance.
By the way, again, we're not disagreeing about that. That's a blunder by the coach. But there were chances in the game, high leverage moments, where you either make the play or you don't. Guys, we just saw the video replay.
But I wanted to go to the video.
You guys, he made more
through
plays than everybody.
To that video. I want to go to that video for you, Matt.
Yeah.
Because if you look at Aaron Rodgers on a play where he could have ran in,
yep.
He wasn't even looking at the open space. He was looking at the receiver, so he made a blunder. Yep. It wasn't like he saw the open space and got scared to run. Mm-hmm. He was looking at the receiver because he made an assumption that somebody had him covered because he was looking, he was eyeing the receiver the whole time. So he messed up. But you're going to compare that mess up to Matt LaFleur being on the sidelines, knowing that you got this dude, that bad man, as your quarterback against Tom Brady after Bruce Arians leaned on Tom Brady to end the first half,
yes.
Like Ryan pointed out,
okay.
This competition.
Let's
and you're
going to
sit up there and take the ball out of his
I see why we're debating. I see what's going on. No, I'm not excusing Matt LaFleur. That was a blunder. What I'm saying is, if you looked at, like, win probability, guys, if Aaron Rodgers runs, and you're saying he's not scared. I'm not saying he was scared. He didn't see it, or he chose not to do it, whatever. You can see clearly from the video. Ryan, let's say he gets stopped and he doesn't punch it in. It's a one-yard line. We're talking about first and goal. And I assure you, Matt LaFleur goes for it there, right? So that if Rodgers runs, they are highly likely to score a touchdown on this drive. The fact that he didn't stop it, if LaFleur opts to let Rodgers pass on fourth down from the 8, is that a bigger or lower leverage play in terms of trying to win? The higher percentage of, like, the win probability added or whatever is if Rodgers runs. He had it. So I can't turn around now and blame the coach. He had it. Rodgers could have won that game.
But, Max, you're talking – but you know why Rodgers couldn't have won that game? Because he was on the sideline on the winning play. Like, that's the issue. We could say no matter how you get to the point where it's time to make the winning play. I know they say, oh, there's so many plays in the game. One play doesn't win the game. One play doesn't lose a game. That's a lie. Because when you're in the moment, that one play can win the game. And that was the play. That was the moment. And Matt LaFleur messed it up. Period. There's no excuses for it. It's unacceptable. He didn't give his best player, one of the best players we've ever seen, an opportunity to be great. And that's why you have him there. And that's why Aaron Rodgers looked the way he did after the game. That's why Molly now feels sorry for the man, because the man didn't get a chance. I can tell you right now, if Aaron Rodgers gets to walk off that field after not running, after not completing a pass on fourth down or not converting on fourth down, I guarantee you he can live with that. And he can say after the game, I wasn't good enough.
We're not
but
arguing about that.
He can't say that because he didn't get a chance to do that.
We're not arguing about that. And I want to address something you said off the top. I'm not looking to say something negative today because I was wrong about Brady. So now Aaron Rodgers, the only reason I'm not known as more of an Aaron Rodgers supporter and, like, fan is because I'm on the show with Stephen A, who's the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan. I love Aaron Rodgers. I thought until very recently, he was the best who ever did it. I'm a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm not looking to say anything negative about him. But sports is the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. It is a zero-sum game. Winners and losers, heroes and goats, and not the good kind of goat, right? So the fact of the matter is, everything you're saying about LaFleur's call is true. I agree with you. On the very previous play, Rodgers blew it. He blew it. So coulda, shoulda, woulda, what Rodgers might have done on fourth down is one thing. I know what happened on third down. I know that because I saw it. He didn't get it done.
Max, and what makes your argument so weak in this regard is that there isn't a single game in any sport where we can't point to previous plays that could have taken place that may have determined an outcome. But what we will always, always lean on is when there is a chance and your best player is stripped of the opportunity to close the deal, to put it on him. It's almost like the officials calling plays and taking the game away from the players. What do we scream at them and say? It's about the players. It ain't about you. And LaFleur himself, LaFleur, made it about him. He made it about him in the worst possible way
imaginable. Well,
the officials did that to end the game. Listen, you sit back and you throw all of that stuff out the window. You go like this. I got the bad man right here. You got Brady. I got him. And then you look at Aaron Rodgers and go like this. It's on you, bro. It's your time. Mm-hmm. Take us there or not. I'm talking one play. Take us there. It's yours. That's what you paid him for. That's why he's that bad man. That's why the only thing that matters other than him and Green Bay is cheese. That's why. Because he's Aaron freaking Rodgers. You give him the damn ball and you say, yo, I got us here. I helped get us here. I'm the coach. This is all I can do.
Scared
it's
money don't you. Make no money, Max.
It's on you.
We're not
tell him again, Molly. Tell
point.
Him again.
Well, I'm not debating that point. That is true.
That is the biggest point is all I'm saying.
All right. Rodgers, you either play to win or you play not to lose. Let's keep it going here. All right. There has been 55 Super Bowls ever, and Tom Brady has made almost 20% of them. What am I even reading? Brady will play in his 10th Super Bowl after leading the Bucs to an NFC title. Enough of an accomplishment to get Max tweeting this. Does this man have the world's best karma? I don't even understand his life. Tom Brady has had a full Hall of Fame career in the time since I made the Cliff prediction. All right, Max. Big storyline this offseason. Is it Brady? Is it Belichick? Who da 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 blah blah blah. All right, it's Brady. What did he prove by reaching the Super Bowl without Belichick, first year with this team in Tampa?
He proved everything. He proved everything. And I am surprised, very surprised by it. I wasn't running around saying it's more Belichick for effect. I believed that. But sometimes, even if the evidence you see is unbelievable to you, you have to accept that it exists. And Tom Brady proved everything. I don't care how stacked the Bucs are, and the Bucs are stacked. Or how bare the cupboard is in New England, and the cupboard was bare. Tom Brady orchestrated that well. You could argue as LeBron James has from team to team, or as Floyd Mayweather did picking opponents. In other words, not only are they the best on the field to play, they can analyze the sport better than others. They know what they need. They know what they need to be successful, and they make it happen. Brady proved everything. First year with the team, no training camp, no practice, facilities around the NFL getting shut down. You can't practice with your brand new teammates, and he goes on the road to beat Drew Brees in his own division, who'd already beaten Brady twice. On the road, Drew Brees, tie game in the fourth quarter. Who's going to be better when it matters most? Tom Brady. And then to Lambeau to do the same exact thing to Aaron Rodgers on the road by playing better in the highest leverage moments. He proved everything. Tom Brady is the football GOAT. He's also the best who ever did it, not just the greatest. And the argument as to who in what sport has been the greatest, Babe Ruth or Michael Jordan, an argument I really didn't think Tom Brady belonged in, he absolutely does.
Tom Brady proved that he deserved far more respect, adulation, and deference from Bill Belichick than he received, and gratitude. Because he disguised Bill Belichick's deficiency as a GM, not a coach. I'll never question the greatness of Bill Belichick as a coach. Too many responsibilities that come with being a coach, and he didn't get there to 9 Super Bowls and win 6 by himself. But when you consider that you last year, meaning Tom Brady, had to work with Jacoby Myers, all right, who, by the way, has potential, okay? And you got N'Keal Harry instead of A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf. And you drafted Sony Michel instead of Lamar Jackson. These are some glaringly flagrant errors made by Bill Belichick, the general manager. And so for me, Tom Brady never departs from New England. If he had the personnel in place, you know, the love that he has for Robert Kraft, And the New England and the Foxborough area and what have you, he never leaves New England if you make sure he has the weapons that he needs. But by not having the weapons that he needed, you have people talking like you, like Tom Brady, bringing up the cliff and the ravine and talking about how he couldn't get it done and how he was done and he was over the hill and all of this other stuff. And as a result, he heard all of that noise and he's like, these people don't know what the hell I'm working with. I have nothing. If Bill Belichick had given him weapons, Tom Brady would still be in Foxborough. And Tampa wouldn't be going to the Super Bowl for the first time since 2003.
The best thing that happened then is that he didn't.
Man, listen, what Tom Brady proved is exactly what I called him last week on Get Up. He's the greatest organization of all time. He's savvy. He's smart. He knows how to maneuver, right? He for two decades, he felt that what was happening in New England could get him to a Super Bowl. As soon as it couldn't, he was gone. As soon as he realized we don't have the requisite players, as soon as he realized the things aren't in place for what I need, it's time for me to go. So think about what he does when he makes that maneuver, when he makes that move, when he finds a new place, when he packs up the Mayflower trucks and moves from Cleveland to Baltimore. He gets there and he says, you know what? I'm going to go get Rob Gronkowski. I'm going to get him to come play with me. Later on, I'm going to get AB. I'm also going to get playoff Lenny to come down. Shady McCoy, who hasn't done as much. And so now he's being the GM. Now he's putting the team together. Bruce Arians said out of his own mouth, Bill didn't let him coach. Sometimes I just sit back and let him do his thing. So he knows when to move the organization, right? He knows how to put the pieces of the organization together, and he knows how to coach the pieces. And so now when it's fourth down and Tom Brady says, hey, man, B.A., put us back out there. I think we could get this fourth down. And then he says, also, too, I like this Scotty Miller matchup on the outside with Kevin King. B.A. says, you know what? Go ahead. And now I can acknowledge Tom Brady was not the most important TB that was on the field in Tampa Bay colors, because that was Todd Bowles. That defense finished and won that game. That defense finished and won the game against the New Orleans Saints. But it's about the journey, y'all, not the destination. Tom Brady was the most important part of this journey. And if we were just talking about him, if you heard how many NFC championships, you heard how many Super Bowl appearances, you heard how many Super Bowls, that organization and its fans would think that they are the greatest thing that has ever been put together. And that's who Tom Brady is. He's the greatest, and it's not any question. And now he's in the conversation for the greatest athlete of all time, not just the greatest football player. And that's hard to be in the biggest team sports in America.
Ryan, I think you buffered my point with the breakdown you just provided, because wouldn't that be somebody that Bill Belichick should have listened to a bit more?
Yeah.
And absolutely. Maybe, just maybe, it's not about the personnel you didn't get Tom Brady. It's about the people he wanted that you refused to go get or to keep on board. Remember, Antonio Brown is in Tampa. He ain't in New England. Now, that's partially his fault. We all know that. We all know, well, you know, how he conducted himself. And we all know he wasn't smart to go after Robert Kraft. But that was after he was let go. Now, he might not have listened to them when they told him to shut up. And he might have had a screw loose and all of that stuff. But that can't be the only time in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era when Tom Brady made some suggestions and Bill Belichick and them may not have listened.
Well, right now, you guys are being a little too definitive at the moment about Belichick-Brady. This is what I will say. Brady's already proven everything he has to prove. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's Brady 1, Belichick 0. But next year is another year. Belichick's going to have another chance. Right. That has not, in terms of Belichick's ability as a coach and GM minus Brady, there are more bites at this apple coming up. And time will tell. Well, but Brady has proven everything he needs to do.
The only reason I would put you on pause for a second is that if you recall, Max, I came on the air and reported at the time that Brady left New England. If Bill Belichick had wanted Tom Brady to stay and had told him so, Tom Brady would have remained in New England. They would have worked it out. I reported that. I didn't give an opinion. I reported that because of what I had heard from the Patriots organization. And everyone I've spoken to.
Yeah.
Has confirmed that reality. Tom Brady left because Bill Belichick would not come to him and say, I want you to stay.
That speaks to Brady's greatness. Really, the reason Belichick had sound reasoning. Yeah. In football, the most important person in the organization is the head coach. In baseball, it's the GM. In basketball, it's the star player, right? Brady is so great that even Bill Belichick, who really knows what he's looking at, didn't understand. I didn't either. A lot of people didn't. What Brady was bringing to the table. He may have thought he understood it, but it appears at this moment he did not. Brady is winning right now.
Still feeling great about Jimmy Garoppolo? Because I'm hearing that San Francisco ain't too high on keeping him, Max. I noticed how that escaped your soliloquy there. Are you bringing up Jimmy G? What about you, Molly? What about Jimmy G? I mean, I don't hear from either one of these people, Ryan.
Jimmy G.
Molly gave him the nickname. No. I'm not talking about that comparison.
Jimmy G has been in a Super Bowl pretty recently.
Jimmy G, I was told we love the San Francisco 49ers. Talk about moving on from him.
Wow. At least you call him Jimmy G now.
Well, let's see Brady win the Super Bowl now, because Garoppolo had a fourth quarter lead in the Super Bowl.
My bad, Ryan.
Brady could
my bad, Ryan. Porn star Jimmy. My bad.
Okay, Disney, let's keep going.
That's right. All right.
Patrick Mahomes is on the cusp of the greatest three-year span by a quarterback in NFL history. It's only in his first three full seasons he leads the NFL in total QBR, QB wins, touchdown passes, yards per attempt, passing yards. My goodness, since the start of 2018, not to mention at 25 years old, he could have two Super Bowl rings, two Super Bowl MVPs, and an MVP award before the season is over. RC, you're going first. Can Mahomes ever be rivaled, or is he just that good?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on how you're looking at it. When you talk about rivaled as to who's the best quarterback in football now, no. There's nobody in that discussion, and we could talk about the year Aaron Rodgers had, but when you think about this three-year run, this three-year span of Patrick Mahomes, it's the best we've ever seen. Also, think about the playoffs, though, in the critical moments. There hasn't been one moment, even in the game that they lost to New England, where Patrick Mahomes came up short. With the conversation we're having about Aaron Rodgers right now, conversations we've had about even Tom Brady in the past, we can never say that. We can never say that Patrick Mahomes needed to hit a switch. Patrick Mahomes needed to make a play. Patrick Mahomes needed to execute, and he didn't. And that's all we've seen. And throughout this year, we had the conversation about teams being close to the Kansas City Chiefs and them playing very tight games. And even in those games, what we failed to mention was Patrick Mahomes made every single play he needed to for the Kansas City Chiefs to win. And a guy like Josh Allen, who moved himself into the MVP conversation, who people were talking about rivaling Patrick Mahomes from a skill level or from a talent level or arm level, had his chance. He had his shot, and it wasn't even close. The thing that's great about this Super Bowl is the greatest of all time, who is Tom Brady, is going to face, at least as current football players go right now, the only dude that can even be in the conversation for having an opportunity to catch him, and that's Patrick Mahomes.
Go ahead, Max.
Mahomes has no rival. And in fact, in terms of the beginning of a career in the history of American team sports, it's hard to find one. Now, it's a perfect storm. Stephen A., you can talk about Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I'm sure you will, and that has something to do with it. And his own talent and his decision-making, which is nearly perfect. Like, it doesn't really get better than that. And yet he's the Brett Favre draw-the-play-up-in-the-dirt gunslinger guy who also, you know, minus the turnovers. Brett Favre is on this show saying it's amazing. He's the gunslinger, but he doesn't turn the ball over. He's Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers had a baby, and he's started 3 years. This is his third. he went to the AFC Championship game 3 years in a row, already won an MVP and a Super Bowl. Should have been Super Bowl 3 years in a row if not for a pre-snap penalty. Guys, this is like I start to look into his, like Michael Jordan. Jordan came into the league like this, but his team wasn't good enough, so he wasn't going to the championship every year. Yeah. Who else did it? Like Dan Marino went early and then not after that. He is the most talented on the most explosive offense. And he doesn't mess up under pressure, and he puts up the biggest numbers, and he has the biggest talent. There's no equal.
So you're just going to end the show and Bailey give me 20 seconds. Fine. Oh, so I asked this question, Ryan. I'll give it to you. you won a Super Bowl championship with the Steelers, did you not? How did you do with the Washington Redskins? See the difference?
No.
Who you play with matters.
Quarterback.
That dramatic pause was actually a delay, Stephen A. RC, good to see you. Let's all do this again tomorrow.
Strategy worked.
Today was fun. Bye,
20
guys.
Seconds.